5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, director of content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. It's NFL draft week, which is probably the most exciting non-event moment in the sports calendar. Then again, maybe I'm just an insatiable sports dork. But I've analyzed this draft phenomenon, and I think it's a parallel to life. Stick with me here as I turn into a creepy meditation guy. But think about it. Why do we love the draft? Well, it's a microcosm of hope, which is what we all look for in life as well. We want hope for what comes around the corner. These athletes that are available give you hope to improve your team and make them better for the next year. The draft is a major part of the enjoyment algorithm for the upcoming season. Your team's current roster plus their free agency ads plus draft equals potential, and potential is exciting. Plus, it's an immersive thing, the draft. The free agency is cool because you don't really know what will happen and it's all somebody else's money anyway. But it's all just, you know, kind of hitting refresh on your phone throughout the day and seeing what happens next. Breaking news banner, Adam Schefter report, Ian Rappaport buzz. I mean, it's fun, but it's just, I don't know, it's a little different. In the draft, there's a sense of order or dominoes that affect one another. So it plays out with more drama and more buildup. Team X does this and that changes your move. The move your team is going to make. Hope is like a tease. You go in expecting one thing, and then all of a sudden it gets thrown completely out of whack when the Browns draft Baker Mayfield number one. So am I going too far with this? I don't think so. I love the draft because I love the NFL, and the season never really stops. We aren't in the game season right now. We're in the team building season, and it's nearly as exciting. So what happens when you work in the NFL? You know, it's a dream job for many. So many people tell me, oh man, I just want to work for a team. I think that would be so great. But what is a day-to-day like? What's the offseason like? What is game day like versus NFL draft day? I'm fascinated by this world, and I think many of you are as well, which is why I brought on Amy Wells, who's the broadcast coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. She's kind of like a Swiss Army knife for the Titans broadcast team. She does on-camera reports, she hosts a radio show, she hosts a podcast, and she tells the players stories from an embedded world behind the scenes. She's in there every day with these athletes as they go through practice and they are on charter flights and they're going to games and they're working out, and she's there. She's a part of it. She's sharing the stories that all the fan bases want to know. I'll be honest, her job is awesome and I'm really jealous. That may come through a bit in this interview. I was just listening back as I was editing some of our conversation and I was like, man, I really sound like I'm envious. We talk about everything from her upcoming draft coverage as she's headed to Dallas later on today to building relationships and trust with the athletes. We also do a dig into how she started out in PR but transitioned to the content side and a whole bunch more. So here she is, Amy Wells, broadcast coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so thrilled to have you on. You have a really big week this week with the NFL draft coming up. I know you're traveling down to Dallas as part of your role as the broadcast coordinator with the Titans. So first off, thanks for squeezing this whole thing in.
You know, this week is going to be really, really fun for us. We're really excited to head down to Dallas and be there for a couple of days. And it's just such a crazy, crazy time. It's going to be really fun to be down there.
Oh, for sure. So let's talk about your role a little bit with the Titans. You've been there for about 5 years now. What are the main responsibilities of your job and how have they changed from when you first started?
Oh, my gosh. Well, currently, I do a lot of different roles. I wear a lot of different hats. So my main responsibility is doing day-to-day updates on the website.
Okay.
So we do a segment called Titans in Two that kind of gives you a daily practice report update. I'll do one-on-one interviews with players. We do pregame and postgame things. So we do everything that we possibly can to keep fans and people who are interested in the Tennessee Titans up to date on our team website. Aside from that, I'm also the co-host of our weekly TV show called Titans All Access. It's kind of a magazine-style show where we've got a lot of different features and interviews and a lot of things going on just to keep people informed every single week about the Tennessee Titans. Then I co-host a weekly radio show with Voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, and Keith Bullock, a former player of ours.
Oh, yeah.
And
yep.
That's a lot of fun where we just get to really get into some X's and O's types of stuff, talk about football, but then we also have players on the show, kind of get to know them a little bit better off the field and talk about the upcoming matchup, whatever that is. And then this year we just started a podcast, so I'm a co-host of that.
Nice.
The OTP, the Official Titans Podcast.
I like that.
And that's been a really just wild experience for us, trying to figure out how to use this new medium and what all we can do with it. And we have all these crazy ideas, and so we're just trying to see what sticks and get to know kind of a new audience. And it's been really fun doing that for, I guess, 7 or 8 weeks now. So
you are busy.
We're constantly busy. We're constantly trying different things and trying to find new ways to tell stories and engage our fans and see what people like and what people don't like. And really, in the last 5 years, my role has changed so much. I mean, when I got this job, I guess 2013 was my first season here, and I was very, very new to broadcasting. I had gone to school for broadcasting for a couple of years and then ended up switching my major at the last minute. So I had been away from anything on camera for probably four-ish years. And all of my experience was in college. And then all of a sudden I have this on-camera job in the NFL, which is bananas. And
yeah, it is.
So I was really feeling things out for a while. So it started off with, hey, we'd love to have you do some, like maybe a weekly update on the website. Let's see what we can do with that. And then, okay, well, maybe we'll incorporate this thing over here. Oh, we'd love to have you on the TV show from time to time. And it really, I have been so fortunate that I have been with a team that has kind of helped me grow and be super patient with me as I got my own footing. And then also working with a guy like Mike Keith, he is an incredible broadcaster. He's been doing play-by-play for the Titans since they've been in Nashville. And he has been just an incredible teacher. And so he's helped me kind of hone my skills and then expand and move into other things as I've grown in this position. So it's been a wild ride, but it's been really cool to see where things can go and what else we can kind of get our hands in.
It's great though that you, I mean, it's great that the team gave you this kind of an opportunity and saw something within you, but at the same time, if you didn't do a good job that first go around that they gave you, if you didn't do well in the opportunity, they wouldn't have given you another one. So I think you have to take a little bit of credit there as well. So in your role now, you're going to the draft. What is your preparation like today? How are you getting ready for what is the biggest event of the off season? I know you've probably talked about the draft nonstop for the last 2 or 3 months as soon as the season ends. And then, but now it's here. What kind of preparation or last minute research or what kind of shows are you guys putting out? What's your day to day going to kind of look like for the next, 4 to 5 days of the NFL draft?
You know, now that we're here right now, I feel like our preparation is just wrapping up. So it's a lot of last minute reminding yourself, okay, who is that person again? Who is this? Making sure that I have everything in order. It's almost more logistical type preparation right now, as opposed to actually learning. We start way back in, I guess, January and February is when some of the All-Star games start happening. So the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine Game and those types of things. We cover all of that stuff. We go to the combine. We're at pro days. We bring guys in for pre-draft visits and we do interviews with them. So we have the opportunity to get to know these guys and interact with them for months in advance. So we're doing the preparation along with the broadcasters and everybody else who's trying to get a feel for what the storylines are going to be and who's going to be in those first round spots,
Yeah.
So at this point this week, I'm doing a lot of last minute reminding myself, kind of making some notes. We did a podcast last week to talk about, different scenarios and kind of what is logistically possible for this specific Titans team. Because we're picking at 25 this year, which is new terrain for the Tennessee Titans. In the last couple of years, we've had much earlier picks. So the conversation is very different when you have the first or second pick in the draft.
Yeah.
It's a lot different picking at 25. So a lot of bouncing different scenarios off of each other and doing that kind of stuff, but also making sure that flights are booked and I know where to get my credential and, okay, in the event that we pick in this spot, here's what we're going to do. Okay, in the event that we end up trading out of the first round, here's what we're going to do. In the event that we actually pick at 25, here's what we're going to do. Kind of making sure that we lay out all those scenarios. And I work with a great producer, and her and I have been doing this together for years now. So just making sure that everybody knows what the plan is. And then going forward after the first night, I mean, we're only in Dallas for about 36 hours. We go down, we're there for the first day of the draft, and then we fly right back the very next morning.
Okay.
So that we're in Nashville for picks 2 through 7. So once we get back here, that's a whole different, okay, how are we going to make sure we cover this? Okay, there's press conferences. Do we have someone for this? Okay, we're also doing this, these three things out in the community, whether it's a draft party or some sort of a meet and greet. Okay, or can we be there? Do we have that? So it's a lot of logistical stuff at right. this point, because we've done all of the research. We've done all the backstory on the individual guys. So now it's just making sure that we have all the pieces, parts in place to actually make it go once we know who that person is going to be.
When you have as many channels as you do between the podcast and the radio show and the weekly show and the website, do you enjoy that challenge of just constantly coming up with unique content for different types of audiences? I mean, obviously it's all themed around the Titans, but you constantly have to be coming up with new and engaging ideas. Is that part of the thrill for you?
Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. I think that the people around me like that I have as many ideas a little bit less than I do, because usually I'll bring someone an idea and they'll be like, well, you're just making more work for me now, Aim. And yes, I am.
Yeah.
But I think it could be really fun because all of this stuff is a group effort. It's not just me. I mean, whether it's myself and Mike who are hosting something and we're bouncing things off of each other, or the producer, and then we need two videographers to come in and help us out, or we're constantly making work for other people. But it is so much fun. It's really, that's the challenge of it. You know, I mean, this is my, I'm going into my 6th season with the Titans, my 8th year in the NFL overall. And so there are very few things that pop up that you've never seen before.
Right.
You know, the game is the same every single year. You kind of know what, I mean, obviously not what storyline is going to be unique to your team throughout the year, but you kind of have a general idea of things that can happen throughout a season. You win a bunch, you lose a bunch. Those things can happen. You know, I mean, the general thing is exactly the same. The trick is finding new and compelling ways to tell it.
Yes.
Whether it's through the lens of this player who has an incredible story, whether it's through the lens of some statistic or some accomplishment that the team has reached, whether it's through the lens of, well, isn't this the craziest thing you've ever seen? I mean, there's always some new angle or there's some new way to tell maybe the same story. For our draft coverage this year, because we've been to the draft a couple of times, so now we're kind of doing it through the perspective of some of our season ticket members who are able to come up to the draft. And what is that experience like as a person who invests in this team and get to have this incredible experience?
That's a cool idea.
You know, I mean, it's the same draft.
Right.
They're picking players. We take a couple of them home with us. We start a football team, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing every year. Finding new ways to do that and finding new ways to show off this team and tell those stories. That's the trick. That's the excitement. And when
bring
that starts
home.
To wear off, like that's when you're done.
Yeah, totally. So I think as someone myself who's worked in the sports media for 2 decades, I find now I'm always only going on the outside. So I was on the network side. I always found building trust and a personal relationship with players can be kind of hard to kind of crack that outside layer. When you're on the team side, how is that challenge work for you of kind of building that trust where the players will open up and speak to you and answer your questions? How do you go about building that trust?
Well, for me, I'm in a very unique situation, I suppose. I'm lucky in that I am embedded with these guys all the time.
Right.
When they turn around, I'm standing there. I mean, I'm in the building with them. My office is right above the meeting room. I'm out at every single practice. I'm in the cafeteria eating. I'm on the team plane. We travel together. We stay in the same hotel. Like, we are always together. And I'm fortunate that I work for a team that really understands the value of my role in that I can help tell their stories instead of someone that they're trying to keep things from.
Right. Okay.
So while obviously I am not in the know on everything that we have going on, I'm trusted, I feel, and I hope. And so I am out at every single practice when there are portions of it that aren't open to the entire media, but they know that having that backstory and understanding what the team is preparing for that week helps me tell the story of the team throughout the week, if that makes sense.
Oh, it totally does. Yeah.
So they, coaches and staff and from ownership all the way down, have been really, really great about allowing me to be around and to be an observer and put myself in situations to get to know these guys. I mean, whether it's just sitting in the cafeteria and, you know, you're kind of talking to people, or we'll take them out on the road in our Titans caravan. So then we're spending 4 and 5 hours on a bus together. I mean, you really get to know these guys. And so a lot of them, especially the old vets who have been around for a while, and
right.
I've gotten to know, and they know me, and it's nice to have that relationship. It gets a little more like brother sister-y, and you feel like you're part of the family, and they know that you're not going to put them in a bad situation. And then flat out just doing things to show them you want to help promote them, whether it's covering something that's a guy's personal foundation event, going out to do that, making the effort to be out at practice, even when it is freezing cold outside and there's no real function for me to be out here except for seeing it. You know, when guys see that you're putting in the work as much as they are and that you're investing in them and the things that they're interested in, not just in being around because you're getting a paycheck, those are the things that kind of go the distance. And that's when you start to get the respect and build those relationships. And so having them know that we don't want to hurt them, we want to help them out, we want to do what we can to tell their stories and help them promote things. And same with coaches and other staff in the building. It's making it known that your whole thing is to promote the team, the organization, and what we're trying to do, instead of getting a scoop of some sort. It goes a long way.
I think that's such a great point. I think that athletes naturally gravitate towards people that are committed and attentive, mm-hmm. and like as present and putting in as much work as they do. I think that that's something that they generally will respect. And the fact that you're showing up as often as you do and being visible and present is probably a huge amount of the battle. I want to pivot back to your early career a bit. You mentioned before that you've been in the industry for 8 years, but you had had a bit of a break there in a sense where you did some reporting when you were in college, but then... from what I can understand, you went into PR for a little while. How was that kind of How was that kind of transition? Why did you go kind of go the PR route a little bit? You worked with the Colts and the Ravens. What was that kind of experience, and what was kind of, how did that teach you that maybe you wanted to go back to being a reporter? What was that like?
Well, I decided in college that it's a very long story, so I don't know if I want you to do the whole story because it's just long and unnecessary. But when I was in college, I went to the University of Missouri, and I worked for the football team there, helping out with some recruiting and sharpening pencils and doing things around the office that needed to be done. And then I also worked at KOMU, a news station in Columbia, Missouri, where I went to school. And I worked in the sports department there as a sports reporter and did a bunch of stuff there. And I realized that I liked being part of a team and part of that culture instead of an outsider looking in on that culture.
Okay.
And so in my mind, I didn't know that a job like the one I have now exists. But I knew that a way to be part of that team, part of that kind of family that I wanted, was to be someone like a public relations person. And SID is what I saw in college. So I kind of switched my major to communication, got out of broadcasting, and which frankly I was okay with because I was really frustrated by the amount of equipment that you have to carry when you're in broadcasting. And I remember it's that true. When I'm doing my current job all the time.
Yeah.
carrying cameras and tripods is the worst. But so I switched over and worked for the SID department a little bit in college, and then got incredibly lucky and ended up applying for jobs in the NFL during the NFL lockout, which turns out is a hard time to get careers started.
Not the perfect timing. And, yep.
Right. And was put in touch with someone with the Baltimore Ravens who had a couple of phone interviews with, and he called me one day and said, listen, I don't know if this lockout is ever going to end, but if it does, we'd love to have you come out and do a season-long internship with us in our PR department. oh, by the way, in the event that this ends like tomorrow, we need you out here. So if you could just move out here, that would be great. So I got the job on a Tuesday. I moved from Missouri to Baltimore, sight unseen, on Thursday, and lived in Baltimore for 6 weeks, just kind of kicking it, waiting for the draft, the lockout.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So, basically I was just the only stupid person who would move across the country with no job, but it turned out to work.
Yeah.
And, so I did PR for a couple years, was really able to get a better understanding of the industry from both sides. You know, I got a really good understanding of good writing and the importance of making sure that everything is pristine before you pass it along and give something out to the media. I got really, really good at paying attention to details that at the time felt just so stupid, but it turns out are really important.
Yeah.
I learned how to read statistics and find stories within those statistics because I had to pitch stories to other people. I learned what reporters needed from me and how important it was for me to be on time and like be super timely with things that I was producing for reporters, because obviously they have deadlines and they have things that need to happen. So I really got a lot of good experience doing that with the Ravens. And then again, I had a similar position with the Indianapolis Colts. So I got really, I was really excited about pursuing this career basically in PR. And a job popped open with the Tennessee Titans that I was kind of asked to apply for and told that it was kind of a hybrid, mostly PR position, but there was an on-camera component to it if I felt that I was comfortable with that. So I went and I interviewed for the job and I did a screen test, which was terrifying when you haven't been on camera in 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't know that's coming. But I did it and they hired me and things have just kind of taken off from there. But
that's awesome.
There wasn't really a time where I made a conscious choice that I wanted to be 100% out of broadcasting or I wanted to be 100% back into it. I kind of knew that I wanted to be part of an NFL team and an NFL culture. And within that, I basically took whatever road got me there. And I've been fortunate that I've been able to use a similar skill set in both roles and that I've been able to stay in this business as long as I have.
Well, I think sometimes you just follow the path of opportunity. I mean, it sounds like these opportunities, as they arose, you went after them and you weren't afraid to take some risk, which I think is really important. And then the hybrid job opens up with the Titans and it just kind of fits right into your skill set. And here you are. I think that's great. So many people, they want to work in pro sports and you have great experience of that. You've convinced the Ravens and the Colts and the Titans that you were the person to hire. So looking back, and please be honest, I ask this of everybody because I think it's an important like root question to get at. If you were on the other side with the Titans and you were making decisions, why do you think they decided to hire you? Was it a specific skill that you had that they needed? Was it something in your overall background? What do you think the secret is of convincing a pro team that you're the right hire?
You know, I think honestly, with my first two positions, it was opportunity. They needed someone and I was available and I was willing to just go.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate in that I didn't have anything attaching me to anything. I didn't have anything holding me to a city. I was able to just pack up my stuff and go. And I think that, especially for those internships, I was well-spoken. I was able to kind of convince them that I could do a job well. And then I had the ability to go there to do that job. You know, I didn't have too much baggage. I could just kind of show up and start working. With the Titans, I think I had some good references, which references and connections are so important.
Oh, yeah.
I had some connections here already, people that I knew who were working either in the area or with the team directly and who I had done some working with in the past. So, again, with connections and just having people who can vouch for you and say that you're good at what you do or that you could be good at a job. But it's all, I mean, golly, for me, my story has just been opportunity, just one after another, just things that kind of pop up. And I don't know, it might be naivete a little bit, but just saying, well, I guess I'm going to do this now.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how it's gone. I've just followed the path. And again, I've been so fortunate that I haven't had to take too many other things into consideration. Just, okay, when can I get out of my apartment and let's go?
Exactly. Can I break this lease? Yeah. So you not only work in front of the camera, you also edit video, you host a podcast, you write, you create content in multiple formats, you promote things on social media. How important is it in your mind to be versatile in the sports industry and to be able to have a lot of different skills rather than just saying I'm a master of this one particular thing?
Oh my gosh, versatility is everything. I mean, number one, you never know what skill it's going to be that gets your foot in the door, because that's the hardest part, is just getting someone somewhere to say, we could use you for this task,
exactly,
whatever it is.
Yep.
So you can't be super specific to one thing, because there's only 32 of these jobs in the NFL. And so if everybody's got a social media person that's really good at putting together funny tweets, and that's what you're bringing to the table, you're out of luck. I mean,
right,
that position's filled. And the thing about the NFL that is so interesting to me is people like to have their people around them. Everybody's got their guy or their group. You know, they talk about like coaching trees and, yep, coaches who have worked with other coaches. It's the same with everything. There's staffing trees. I know that it is a thing that is true, because there are, it's such a small town. There's only 32 of these.
Yeah.
So everybody's got their guy that they brought in and they're really proud of and they want to put someplace else. So you have to have a skill set that is different from that guy's guy, you know, to make yourself valuable.
Yeah.
So the broader your skill sets can be, the more things that you're able to do where someone says, oh gosh, I really have no idea how to edit this video, or gosh, I have no idea what kind of equipment we need for this task. You can raise your hand and say, oh, I know how to do that. I can help you out with that. Boom, right there. That's your in. You don't have to be the person that's buying equipment for the rest of your life, but that is your way to show that you have some sort of value. I mean, in the NFL, we say the more you can do, and that, I'm going to get it tattooed on my face, I think.
Oh, like, it's so true.
It is just the words that I live by. I mean, whether it's being able to set up for a press conference, being able to write a script for someone over there. Heck, I volunteered to write someone a press release last week because they were like, I don't really know how to do this. I was like, I do.
Yeah.
Like, it's just whatever you can raise your hand and say, oh yeah, I would love to do that. It makes you more valuable. And not to mention that the world we live in right now, it's not just, oh, we need someone who can be on TV once a week. Like, that's not a job anymore.
No.
We need you to be on TV and then tweet X amount of times and have this sort of presence. And they need people who can, in my world anyway, they need people who can create a brand or contribute to the brand that they're trying to build. And you have to do that in multiple mediums and multiple ways these days. So the more that you can make yourself valuable to an organization and the more that you can contribute in whatever way that is, people want to have those people around, because then they don't need five people to do things that one person can do.
It's so true. And I think you made a really strong point earlier on, is that I remember when I went to Fox Sports Northwest to be the news director, the first thing I wanted, mm-hmm, to do was recruit a couple people that I knew, that I felt comfortable with, that I could bring onto the staff and know that I had some of my, mm-hmm, people there to trust amongst the staff. Now, it was harder for me because I was moving from Atlanta to Seattle to try to convince people to come with me. But nonetheless,
yeah,
you're right on. I think there are like hiring trees and coaching trees, just the same. It's a very, mm-hmm, similar thing, is you want to be surrounded by at least a couple people that you trust. So kind of, uh-huh, getting, you're hitching your wagon to the right person too, is kind of a important thing. But I love what you're saying about versatility, because I tell people all the time, if you're struggling to get noticed, go take a Photoshop class, go learn how to edit, uh-huh, Final Cut, use Final Cut Pro, learn some tangible skill that employers need, and to look at the job descriptions and figure out what employers are looking for and go get it, you know, like go after it, because you're right. You have to be able to differentiate yourself on some level from everybody else.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, the smartest thing that I've ever done was I hired my best friend to come in and be an intern. I've been with the Titans for a year. a girl I had worked with at KOMU. She was a producer there. She was a video editor. She was a shooter, and she was awesome at it. A couple years older than me. I hired her as my intern, and she surpassed me in like 15 minutes. But she has been my producer, my videographer. She edits everything that I do. She sits in on like when we shoot our podcast, she sits in there and will tell me where I've flubbed up on a word, where helps me kind of organize my thoughts if I can't do that. She edits things. She's someone that I trust implicitly. And having that person around you, she has been a game changer for me. And it's because she's someone that I trust and I know will take care of me. And right. So I'm able to try new things and take risks because she can be there to be a resource and someone who can clean up all the bad parts or say, well, that didn't work at all. Let's find a new way to do this.
Right.
And so if you can ever be in a position where you are someone's guy, that'll take you ways too. And I mean, if you're really good at it, you can be like her. And she was my intern for 1 year and she's been my boss ever since. So that's how that happened.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, that's the way it works sometimes, right? And you're happy for it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy for it to happen.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier too, that you have a mentor in the form of the play-by-play announcer for the Titans, who's been there a mm-hmm. long time and has been in the industry a little longer than you. How important has that relationship been? So not only do you have a peer that you trust or now you're senior, but you have a peer there that you trust, but that you also have somebody who can act as a mentor, who's just seen so much in the industry. How has that relationship kind of helped you out?
Oh my gosh. There is not an amount of money that I could put on it to show you how valuable it has been.
Yeah.
He has been an incredible teacher. He's an incredibly patient man, which I appreciate, but he's able to sit down with me and tell me specifically where I need to work. And it's not just like technical theory. It's here are your tendencies. Here's what I know you're thinking because I know you well. This is what you should be thinking instead. Like, this is where you get off track. This is where we need to bring it back in. And it's little things.
Yep, like totally.
The style in which I broadcast. And he's like, well, that's a little too casual because that's how you really talk. You can't do that in this setting. You know, stupid, minute things that someone who just had been around for a while wouldn't know, but he is so much more than that. He is a student of broadcasting, man. I'll tell you what. And the guy prepares like a machine. He loves football. He loves his job and he wants to be good at it. Watching him prepare makes me want to prepare harder. Taking notes from him makes me want to do a better job. He is just, I can't say enough good things about Mike Keith. He's a Hall of Famer in my mind.
It's so awesome.
He's just, he's incredibly, he's been such an incredible resource for me. And I would never say any of these things to his face because he'll get a big head. But he has been.
We won't tell him.
A remarkable, remarkable just person to work with and teacher.
I tell people all the time that the key to finding a good mentor is that they don't necessarily want to be your friend. They're willing to be like brutally honest with you and tell you where you're messing up or where your flaws are or whatever. And that's important for getting better. And that can be a hard person to find. So congratulations to you for finding it. So we have this private Facebook group for fans of this podcast. And before each interview, I ask those people, hey, what do you want to know? What do you want me to ask? Uh-huh. And then I pick out a few of the best. So Jillian Aliza was very excited. She wanted to know if you have any advice for someone with a background in PR like you who wants to transition to the broadcast side of things, also like you. You seem like a good person to answer this one.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's like she knows me.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the best advice that I have and something that I wish I had done more of is be intentional when you are watching broadcasters that you like. Don't just watch them for the information that you want to get. Like I'd watch SportsCenter all the time and I was like, oh, I'm probably learning how to do this. Negative. You have to be intentional about watching it. So you have to actually notice things that a broadcaster is doing and what you like about them. So if I'm watching, say, Susie Colbert, who is someone who I've admired forever on ESPN, I'm not just watching to hear what she's telling me as a broadcaster. I'm watching, okay, I really like the way Susie does fill in the blank. And then you can take that skill and try to incorporate it into what you're doing. So that's something I wish I had done more of, was not just like, oh yeah, she's a good broadcaster, I want to be like her. You have to find specific tangible things that you like about people and then try to emulate them. So that is one thing that I wish. Another piece of advice is, don't be afraid to write everything down.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, I tried to just keep so many things in my brain and I was like, surely I can memorize this. Like, I was in a play once, I can memorize lines. But it's not that. It's knowing the information, it's organizing your thoughts ahead of time, and then being able to relay those thoughts. So I go through legal pads like it's going out of style. I don't even know if legal pads are cool anymore, but I buy them just by the truckload.
They totally are cool. Yeah.
So I think they're cool. I had a player make fun of me for them the other day, but I really think they're neat and so useful. But I write every single thing down. Any question I'm going to ask, any thought that pops into my brain, I write out any sort of stand-up that I'm about to do. I make sure that I have everything written out, and not just typed into my phone, physically written down. It helps me organize my thoughts. It helps me get to what I want to say, and it helps me weed out some of the bumbling and the kind of circular talking to get to your point. So those are two things I wish I had known much earlier in my career, because now they help me a lot and it could have like sped everything up before.
It's funny. I used to walk around the newsroom with a pencil behind my ear, a number two pencil, just standard number two pencil. And everybody used to make fun of me like I was some 1940s reporter that was just going to pull out their notepad and start writing down pencil scratchings. And I'm like, no, this is just my comfort. You know, like I need to know exactly where it is and kind of have something to write with all times. And anyway, I get it. Trust me. Everybody has their little things that make them feel comfortable in a way, I guess.
Well, and that's what it is. It's kind of like a security notebook. I've written this stuff down. I hardly ever reference it, but I've written it down. I know that it's there. I know that it's in order if I get stuck, and I can just jot things down whenever I need to. And it helps keep things going, because I know the information,
right,
but I have it in a place where it's organized and easily acceptable. And so when a player makes fun of me, I don't know what to tell them.
Like, you just got to laugh along with it.
Job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. So I think it's clear to me that you're an inspiration to, I think, anybody that wants to work in pro sports. I think you've challenged yourself to follow the path of opportunity as it's come in front of you. And I also think you're probably a great inspiration to a lot of the young girls out there who want to follow a similar path to you. If somebody came up to you today, a young girl, a young boy, doesn't matter, and they said, you know, I want to work in sports like you someday, what kind of advice would you give them that would help push them onto their dreams?
You know, I think there are a lot of different things. My first piece of advice that I give everybody is, especially like in junior high and high school, when you're kind of realizing that grades are important, but like they don't matter as much as everyone wants you to think. Like your whole life doesn't hinge on your grades, but in junior high and high school, they really do. Because if you get good grades and you get into a good college, then you can start doing internships earlier. Internships are your bread and butter.
Oh, yeah.
For years. So the earlier that you can get internships, the earlier you can start getting real jobs. Because grades don't speak for you the way they once did. Let's be honest.
No, like, it's experience.
Putting
all
on
the way.
A resume, I had a 4.0 GPA. People say, oh, that's nice. Who saw you do that? Who can who's your reference? You know? It's not self-explanatory anymore. People want to have someone who can speak on your skill set. And so I encourage every kid to get good grades so that they can get a good internship. That's when you start your career path. That's when everything starts. It's not when you get a paid job. It's 3 years prior when you're in college and you get some sort of opportunity that's in the direction of where you want to go. So that's my number one piece of advice is, work towards getting an internship, and a good internship, and one that can help you get where you're going. So that's piece of advice number one. Piece of advice number two is, if you can get anywhere even within the realm of what you think you want to do in sports, take the opportunity.
Preach.
There is not enough space for you to say, oh, well, you know, I really just wanted to do on-camera reporting. That's really all I want to do. So no, I'm going to turn down this summer 6-week PR internship. Absolutely not. No. You take that internship, you get your foot in the door, whether you want to do it or not. I don't care if that's an internship in marketing and you don't know how to do that. It's an internship in ticket sales. You don't think you want to do that. It gets your foot in the door with an organization, and it gives you any chance to get in front of someone who can speak on behalf of your skill set.
We're sharing a brain on this. Oh, those are great. Those are great pieces of advice.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's so spot on. I don't think enough people think of themselves, and I'm probably overusing this term, but in a silo. Like, they're like, no, I want to work in marketing. So I'm going to only do stuff in marketing. And it's like, no, go take that right. sales job, start kicking butt there, and then get promoted to marketing within your own corporation, you know, like, and build your way up Absolutely. Through a business. And, or if you want to be, I think your path is a really great one. If you want to be on camera, start out in PR or start out somewhere where you're going to have to work on your writing skills and your connection to detail and your athlete's connection and being able to present ideas and reporting ideas. And that is going to build you into a better possible reporter. And there's always more than one path to the ultimate goal. So take that opportunity. Sorry, I get fired up about this stuff too.
No, it's good. It's great. The thing that people, I think, don't realize is how small the professional sports world is.
Yes.
It is an incredibly, incredibly small town. I could tell you right now off the top of my head, every single person who works in PR public relations in the entire NFL, because I know them all. They're all people I've worked with, and a lot of them for years. So you are one of 32. I mean, we say it over and over again on our worst days, on my worst days, I'll look at someone at the end of the day and say, wow, this is really just a bad day, but I'm one of 32 people in the entire world that gets to do the job that I do. And not every team has a person like me. So it's more like one out of 27 who get to do the job that I do. And that is incredible. But that just shows you how hard it is. 27 jobs. That's it.
Right.
So if you want to get to that spot, you've got to take one of whatever the small job is that you get, and then try to find a way to wiggle your way up in there. But the demand for the job is huge. The supply is so, so small. So whatever you can get that is remotely close to it, snatch it up, because someone else will, and then they're going to be a step ahead of you.
I think you have to be creative in your hustle too. It's like, if somebody wants to work in Major League Baseball, well, don't be afraid about starting out in the minors and getting some experience there, because chances are, like you said, it's a small world. You work in the minors for a little bit, somebody at that minors team is going to know somebody on the pro level, and then you're building your reference network and all of that can start to happen for you. It is a small, interconnected world. So take the opportunity where you can get it, kick butt out there, and then escalate, you know, promote through within. So taking those opportunities is just such a huge thing. Amy, I can't thank you enough. This was really a lot of fun. Everyone should go to Titans Online and click on all of your stories and download the Titans official podcast and listen to your radio show and watch all your videos from the NFL draft. We all have a lot of work to do.
None of you people have jobs or lives of your own. So please just listen to all of my things.
There are so many places that you are. We should be watching all of them. I mean, you're listening to all of them. I feel.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a wild, wild ride, but gosh, I'm just, anytime anyone watches or listens to anything that we do, I am just tickled pink. So.
Isn't it funny when I look at the numbers for like this podcast and I'm like, people listen to me, you know, it's kind of funny in a way.
Yeah. More than just my parents.
Exactly.
This is really
There's
cool.
more than two people that listen to this. That's crazy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you so much, Amy. This has been a lot of fun. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, gosh, this has been an absolute blast. I would be happy to talk to you anytime. This has been fun.
Oh, we're going to do it again. This will definitely happen again.
Heck yes, we are.
Thanks to Amy Wells for being part of this interview. She's flying out to Dallas later on today to be part of the Titans draft coverage. She's going to be there for just 36 hours, she said, covering the first round, telling the stories of from a Titans perspective through all their different channels. I think it's amazing that she does the podcast work, the radio work, the on-camera work, the site work, all the different avenues that she has to create content in. It's just such a unique and valuable challenge, and she does it with such skill. This interview is great. We learned so much. And I think it's clear that if this sort of thing, if you're listening to this, and whether you want to work in the broadcast side of sports or not, but if you don't listen to this and kind of get excited for what the sports industry means, then this probably isn't meant for you. Like, even if I didn't want to work in broadcasting, I think I would listen to her day to day and say, man, that's cool. And sports is just so different than anything else. And I just think it's an exciting world to be a part of. So thank you again to Amy. I do want to let you all know that as part of the NFL draft, we're running a really cool promotion at workinsports.com. So if you are interested in getting 75% off a premium membership to workinsports.com, where we have over 7,000 available jobs and many, 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 many jobs in football, message me, hit me up on LinkedIn, send me an email at podcast@workinsports.com. Join our private Facebook group by searching the Work in Sports podcast on Facebook. Let me know you're interested and I'll send you a promo code. That's how it's going to work. So if you want to find a job that's going to excite you in your career, just like Amy has, and just like her career is going on fire and going crazy and all these fun things that she's doing, if that's what you want into your life, reach out to me. I'll let you know how you can get 75% off a premium membership at workinsports.com and find the job that you've always wanted. So that's it for today, and I will talk to you guys all really, really soon.